Hey folks, this is Kiria Rentakai reading Phoenix Feather by Bumbledees, the fourth and last as of right now work in the Amazing Adventures of Zhang Xiaolian and Family series. I hadn't realized that this one had been added so recently. This was published October 16th, 2024. And so what that means is I haven't read it because I read the series when I read the series the first time. And yeah, I didn't think I even realized that there was a new part. So this is going to be an ice cold read for me, which is super exciting. Okay. Let's see. The ships are Zheng Cheng / Wen Ning, and then Wen Ning and Wen Qing. Additional tags. Wei Wishan / Zhang Xiaolian is Madam not appearing in this fic. Anyways, this is for that one commenter who was sad about Wen Ning, and how he doesn't usually get to live in Fix-It Fix. And Xiaolian verse is nothing if not a Fix-It. This is also for that other commenter who was creeped out by Cheng Ning, because Wen Ning is a zombie. Which is fair. TBH, I forget he's, like, dead. To quote Wen Xing in this fic, he acts so alive. This is a Wen siblings fic, first and foremost, BTW. I am an older sibling and I have feelings. All extremely fair. Summary. I'm not doing this because I want to leave you, Wen Ying says very gently. I'm doing this because I want to stay. Or, Wen Ying enlists his older sister to help unfierce corpse him. Wen Xing grapples with her little brother growing up and with letting go. Author's notes. I've had this hanging around in my WIP folder for a long time now, but I think it's time to post it. I'm still very fond of this verse, but I've had writer's block for a few years now, so gods only know if I'll ever finish it. This fic, at least, is a one-shot. Tiny content warning for blood magic and the slicing of an arm to perform said blood magic. Yeah, at least for me, like, I think people who are more serious fanfic writers than me have, like, consistent practice. So I can get the frustration of that. For me, it's either, like, I feel like it or I don't, and I just don't feel like writing for decades at a time sometimes. So I feel you. Wen Xing is, by now, very used to having an abomination for a younger brother. His skin is horribly pale, because he's dead. Resentful energy crawls up his neck in vines, because it's providing energy for him, because he's dead. And his eyes are a total and utter black. Wen Xing is only ever seen in the spaces between stars in the night sky. Because he's dead. Ice cold to the touch, unable to feel pain, faster with his reflexes than anything else on two legs, the list continues. Wen Qing has gotten very good at ignoring all of it, especially for someone whose livelihood depends on noticing every little detail about her patients. She can be excused a little, she thinks, because her brother still acts so alive. He watches the fishes and the dragonflies, plays hide-and-seek with the children of Yun Mengjiang, helps her in the medical quarters, and goes out in a boat among the lotuses with sect leader Jiang. Wen Qing is less than thrilled about this last bit. It's not that she doesn't trust Jiang Wenyin. It's more that Wen Qing doesn't trust anyone, except maybe Wei Wishan, and only then to go about doing things in the most poorly thought-out way possible. She holds this position on Wei Wishan with love, mind. It's simply that you can only watch someone try to raise the spirit of a literal mountain of corpses so that they can ask it why it has a blood pool about three times max before you start to realize the part of their brain that connects actions to consequences is broken, or at least severely warped. But then again, she probably should have realized this about him when he asked her to carve out his core, and doubly so when he agreed to bring her brother back to life. Cheongji Pass. Rain, mud, bodies. Screaming her brother's name. Fear singing its awful, dizzying aria in her ears as she stumbles around, searching. The aria ending abruptly as the fear is confirmed. Her baby brother is on the ground, limbs at unnatural angles, still warm. The little boy she raised by herself after their parents' deaths. Anying, who had coughing fits and fainting spells and nightmares of a statue dancing snake-like on a mountaintop. He's gone. He's been gone for mere minutes. All of that slipped out of her hands for the sake of a few minutes. She shouldn't have stopped for that rest, that food, that cry. If she'd been quicker, faster, better. She wore her throat hoarse, screaming, until Wei Wuxian pulled Wen Ying from the mud and launched him like a vicious, resentful arrow at the men who'd killed him. She'd watched her brother rip and tear and kill like he'd never done in life, like he never would have done in life. And the only thing she can think is, maybe Wei Wuxian can bring him back. Stasis talismans served to freeze Wen Ying, enabling them to put him on a rickety cart like so much luggage, among the shivering, silent former prisoners, following the mass murderer of their former clansmen because no one else will have them. The scourge of Qi Shan Wen and the defiler of graves plants radishes and sneaks extra food onto Granny and Ayuan's plates and keeps his promise to bring her brother back. He works stasis into the resurrection array in a way that won't hinder An Ying's movement, only preserve his body. After Wen Ying wakes, Wen Qing sets her brother's broken bones, too many to name, too many to count, despite his protests that he can't feel any pain from them, and that she should save the bandages for any future needs. Future needs never come, because Lan Wangji finally gets his ass in gear and asks Wei Wuxian to marry him, instead of just mooning around in Yiling. Wen Qing shoves Granny and Ayuan out with them before she can think about it, before she can miss them, or wonder if they'll ever see each other again. Because Granny deserves comfort in her twilight years, and Ayuan deserves the world. She refuses to think too much about the year that follows because she still can't quite believe it happened. One thing led to another, and now here they are. Her and An Ying and Uncle Four and most of the others, settled down, nice and permanent, under the command of a sect leader who only a few years ago couldn't speak of the Wen clan without calling them dogs. It's fine. Wen Qing has resentments of her own. She still hates playing happy family whenever Jin Zixuan's around. Logically, she knows he was uninformed about the camps, and one of their staunchest allies in getting restitution afterwards. Emotionally, she sees gold and thinks, An Ying, unmoving, cracked like a stick on the mud-slicked stone. For all the affection she bears Jiang Yanli, it takes a while before lotus and pork rib soup stops tasting like ashes on her tongue. This is the point. Wen Ying forgives as easily as he breathes. Breathed. He is merciful, kind, and gentle. He wouldn't even hurt Jin Zixun. That came from Jiang Wenyin, who followed through on his oft-spouted threat and snapped bone with his boots. She's not going to lie, that raised him in her estimation a little bit. Not enough to like him, not enough to enjoy spending time with him, and certainly not enough to approve of him kissing her baby brother in the Lotus Pier archery field. But Wen Ying looks at Wen Yin like he's the moon shimmering in the sky. So Wen Qing settles for threatening simultaneous decapitation and castration, and hopes for An Ying's sake that she never has to carry through with it. As with everything, she will take the hurt, the anger, the resentment, and bottle it up in her chest, so her baby brother can keep loving and caring as only he can. It's been a few months since she found out. Wasn't told. Found out by accident. And so far, so good. Jiang Wenyin seems to almost completely do away with the yelling when he's talking to her little brother. An Ying seems happier than she can ever remember seeing him. In death, at least. Nothing will measure up to the smiles from when her baby brother was alive. Uncle Four is selling lotus wine in the Yunmeng markets. Ayuan is learning to write, and Granny is thriving in the Gusulan kitchens. She starts to relax, just a little. In retrospect, she really should have expected that the world would choose then to upend her life once more. I've been thinking a lot, Wen Ying says, one bright and beautiful day on the docks of Lotus Pier. Good for you, Wen Qing tells him, setting up various herbs to dry in the sunlight. Wen Ying flicks a lotus seed at his sister's head, a movement that cannot be called idle in any sense, due to the control he has to exert over his strength, but manages to look nonchalant nonetheless. I've been thinking about why Wei Gongzi was able to bring me back. Wen Qing's heart stabs instead of beating, and it's a few moments before she can say, "What about it?" I was thinking about my body, Wen Ying says, and how you had to sort of freeze it. Yes, Wen Qing says. Freeze it, or have it decompose underneath him. Have him rot away as he walked. Okay, the dogs are being a little rowdy, and this is a section I wanted to be able to pay attention to, so I took a break. So my body was frozen, Wen Ying said, and it stayed frozen. So it's frozen right now, right? Anying, is there a point? Wen Qing says, and the edge in her voice makes her brother hurry the rest of it up. Yes, I was thinking. Wei Gongsu was probably able to bring me back so completely because my body was not that far from death. It was still some sort of home, and it stayed a sort of home. I just use resentful energy now to make it run. His fingers are tapping anxiously against the dock boards, and he's distracted enough by what he's thinking about that they're making tiny dents. So, if it's frozen, can't we just unfreeze it? You're not alive, Wen Qing says, getting the words out like pulling splinters or teeth. You would just die again. I don't think I would, though, Wen Ying says, because if I wasn't alive in some sort of way, I don't think I'd be able to be me. Every other fierce corpse we've met has been so consumed. You had rages, Wen Qing says quietly. She remembers them even now. Moments where Wei Wuxian had to restrain her little brother, who roared and thrashed with the fury the violence of his death gave him. And I haven't had any for nearly a year, Wen Ying says, which makes me think, if I was unfrozen. Your skull was broken, Wen Qing says mercilessly. Your arms, your legs, your ribs, your neck, your spine. Wen Ying looks abashed, but not repentant. Jijie, I think the resentful energy has been mending things, in a weird sort of way. Reconnecting tissue and sealing bone. You set my bones, remember? Wen Qing remembers very well, but does not particularly want to talk about it. You think it's been repairing you? Yes, Wen Ying says. And I know that even if it's been repaired, my body is dead. Because if you freeze life, that's death, right? But my mind, my soul is here, Jijie. Her brother is leaning forward, pitch black eyes eerily intense. If I'm unfrozen, I think I would stay. Wen Qing wrestles with her love, her curiosity, and her morals. It takes almost half an hour, and her little brother waits patiently the whole time. There's no telling what sort of poor shape your organs would be in, she says at last. And Wen Ying smiles, stilted, frozen, but bright all the same, because he knows that he's won the first battle of the war. Wen Qing thinks she might have an ally in the next battle, but when she asks Wen Ying if he's talked to Wen Ying yet, Wen Ying just nods and says, A Cheng knows what I've been thinking about. She takes a moment after that to deal with the fact that she isn't the first person her brother tells things to anymore. It hurts a little more than she expects it to, and she's still feeling less than charitable when she goes to speak with Jiang Wenyin. Sect leader, she says, closing the door of his office behind him with a little more force than strictly necessary. No one is hurt, she clarifies, because she may be a bit of a bitch, but she isn't an asshole. I wish to speak to you concerning my brother. Jiang Wenyin scowls, but he's almost always scowling unless he's talking to Anying. What about him? His voice is almost protective. Wen Qing resists the strong urge to stab him with a needle and firmly locks away the even stronger urge to snap that if he'd been a little more protective a little earlier, they wouldn't be in this situation. Now, would they? And calmly says, Anying tells me you are aware of his investigations regarding his existence as a fierce corpse. Wen Yin only flinches a little bit, which is fair. Wen Qing does the same thing when people comment on her brother's undead state. I am. And what is your opinion on these investigations? Wen Qing asks. Wen Yin's scowl goes from typical to attempting to deal with complex emotions and not entirely succeeding. Why do you need my opinion on it? Wenting considers prolonging the tete-a-tete. Maybe she'll see if Wenyin is gaining new scowls for each emotion he discovers, but decides to leave conversational chess for another day. "I'm worried," she says, putting down her pride. "I'm worried he'll get his hopes up, and I'm worried he'll take unnecessary risks. I don't know if what he wants is even possible." Wenyin sets aside whatever he was working on and leans forward in his chair. Anying seems to think it is. "The theory isn't without merit," Wenting admits. "It's possible, but it could also kill him again." Jiang Wenyin's expression changes to something that is not a scowl, but is also not particularly positive. "He thinks it's worth it." "And do you agree with him?" Wenting asks. It's not an accusation at this point. He is, theoretically, the only other person in Lotus Pier who would be as destroyed as she would if Wenying died a second time. She wants almost desperately to know how he's managing to accept the idea.
"I didn't at first," Wenying admits, and she blinks in surprise. "I thought it was too risky. And even if it succeeded, he'd be putting himself into pain, cutting down his ability, shortening his lifespan."
There's a moment of silence, where Wenyin plays with Zidian on his finger. Wenting, who sympathizes with how long it takes the Jiang sect leader to find the words he means to say instead of the words he wants to say, waits.
"Then I remembered what Wei Wuxian did," Wenyin says quietly. "How it felt to have choices made about my body and my life by someone else."
Wenting does nothing to assuage the guilt that rises up in her chest. She knew she would have to live with having performed the core transplant for the rest of her life, and so she will. But Wenyin doesn't seem to be done quite yet. His fingers tighten briefly on his mother's ring, and he takes a breath like he's jumping into water before he pushes forward. "Wenting, I chose to be caught. There were Wen soldiers watching my brother, and I chose to let them see me so they would leave him alone."
Wenting's world tilts.
"I'd lost Anyang and Adie, and all of my martial brothers and sisters. I'd lost Lotus Pier. I couldn't lose him, too."
Her mouth is dry.
"Did you know?" she asks, when she can force air from her lungs. "What they would do to you?"
"I didn't think they'd throw me a fucking party," Wenyin says with a short, sharp laugh.
"Honestly, I thought that I would die. But I'd made my peace with that." He takes a steadying breath before he continues. "I can only imagine Anying made some of the same choices in the camps." He finally meets her eyes again.
"I can respect that."
A muscle jumps in his jaw, and she can see him take his not inconsiderable willpower and bring it down hard on his own personal fears.
"I will make myself respect that."
There's a long, tense silence.
"Well," Wenting says hoarsely, "I do not think I've ever been so thoroughly and rightly chastised."
This surprises another bark of laughter from Wenyin, equally as humorless as the first, but a little softer all the same.
"Wenting," he says, "if my brother had died, do you think I wouldn't have ripped apart the whole world to find his stupid fucking soul?"
Wenting does not open her mouth, because she's not sure if she will laugh or sob, and she doesn't know which would be worse.
"I asked Wenying once what it felt like to have a sibling who would do the impossible for you," Wenying says, after a few moments have passed and she hasn't spoken again. "He said that sometimes it didn't feel very good, but he would do the same so he couldn't complain."
She can feel the tears sliding down her face, can feel the ache of muscles she has to keep tight control over to keep from breaking down like a child. Wenyin does not comfort her, because he knows that she does not want comfort. They are very similar, the two of them. They would have made a good pair, Wenting thinks, were they not quite so similar. She has not told Wenying what she has in common with him. Under Wen Rohan's watchful eye, he needed comfort, and he could not be comforted if he was worried about her, too.
"Thank you for your honesty, Wenyin," she says, and he nods.
"Qingjie," he says simply in farewell, and she allows it. Quick reader's break here.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'm missing something because of my lack of knowledge of canon, or if this is a developing plot point of what Wen Qing has in common with Cheng Cheng. Okay. All right, Wen Qing says to her brother, I'll help you. Wen Ying's face lights up like the sunrise, and she prays to every god she knows that she hasn't made a promise she can't keep. Just as soon as she's accepted it, the project gets derailed, because trust Wei fucking Wuxian to try and grow a baby inside of a melon. Wen Qing and Wen Ying share a look when they get the news that their friend's wild plan has succeeded, silently agreeing to table talking to Jiang Xiaolian about reverse necromancy until after her baby has hatched. It gives Wen Qing time to research, anyways, both about children by way of gardening and how exactly the soul attaches to the body. When she feels like throwing books because she can research bodily stasis backwards and forwards, but no archive in existence will tell her how someone's fucking soul is connected, she switches to horticulture and laughs so hard she cries when she figures out that Zhang Xiaolian's daughter will be a Yao. Reader's note, but she didn't tell them. The resentful energy she leaves alone, assuming that they will ask Wei Wuxian about it when he's in a less delicate state is not the correct turn of phrase by a long shot, but nothing else quite describes the sheer unpredictable unknown that her friend has decided to throw himself wholeheartedly into yet again. It's a month or so before the little Yao should hatch that Wen Ying comes to her, collection of painstakingly written research in hand, and says, please. She'll be the first to admit that she underestimates her brother sometimes. It's the fault of older siblings, who always think of themselves two steps ahead. But this is Anying, Wen Qing says, setting the bundle of papers down. A book's worth. A book's worth of thinking and planning and wanting, and that's terrifying. We should wait for Xiaolian. Wen Ying takes a deep breath and says, I don't want to. She blinks. Wen Ying always wants to know what Wei Wuxian will think. We don't need to, Wen Ying says. You've read it. We can do all we need through arrays. The resentful energy will be released, one way or another, and we don't have to touch it. But why now? Wen Qing asks, fear starting to hum in her chest again. She thought she would have at least a little longer to brace herself for this. Why not just a month, Anying, to hear what she thinks? Xian has her own life, Wen Ying says. And when did her brother get so serious, so collected? I don't need to go to her about this, so I don't want to. Wen Qing lets all her breath out in a frustrated gust of air. So I get to handle this alone? It comes out harsher than she means to. You don't have to, Wen Ying says, still collected. I think I could do it myself if need be. I'm doing it, Wen Qing snaps. But you could still die, Anying. I could, Wen Ying says softly. And I don't want Xian to raise me again if I do. Ah, that's the real reason, then. Wen Qing stands very still and waits until she doesn't feel like she's going to throw up from fear and pain and guilt. You're probably going to be sick a lot, she says when she's recovered her voice. I know, Wen Ying says. You're going to be tired and forget things and have difficulty thinking. You're going to be weak and you're going to be in some kind of pain most of the time. I know, Wen Ying says. Even if you ever manage another golden core, it will never be as strong. You'll die far before I or Zheng Cheng will, Wen Qing says, her voice masterfully calm even as her hands tremble. I know, Wen Ying says, but I'll get to live with you. He stretches his hand out to reach for his sister's. Jijie, was my life any less precious the first time around? For everything I struggled with? Was it better that Jin Zishun killed me? No, Wen Qing says, immediately and venomously. The idea is as ridiculous as it is unthinkable. Then it's not any less precious now, Wen Ying says. He looks down at their hands, where she's taken his and squeezed them tight.
Ajie, I miss being able to feel someone holding my hand. I miss being able to cry. I miss being able to breathe.
Wen Ting takes a deep breath of her own and gives up the ghost. All right, she says softly. After everything, she thinks, it is the least she owes him. Wen Ying smiles the best that he can with his stiff, frozen muscles. I'll have you. I'll have Acheng. I'll have the breeze on my face and the taste of food in my mouth and my heartbeat in my chest. I know, Wen Ching says. She looks him straight in the eyes. Promise me one thing.
What is it?
Wen Ying asks. And, oh, she's so proud of him for not immediately saying, yes, of course.
You have to complain, Wen Ching says. If you're tired, if you're hurting, if you're ill, you have to whine about it worse than Wei Wishan did when I told him to clean up the demon slaughtering cave.
Wen Ying laughs, a bright, surprised little sound.
That's so much whining.
Unlike him, you'll be whining because you need help, Wen Ching says. Despite the best efforts of everyone around him, the surest sign of Jiang Shaolian needing assistance is still the absence of dramatic complaining. And because things will be difficult, and because you deserve to complain about it.
Sorry, I'm still trying to distract my dog from making licking noises by petting him, and I don't think that's actually preventing noises. It's just making different noises. Okay. Hopefully these are cuter noises, at least.
All right, Jia, Wen Ying says. I promise.
Good, Wen Ching says. She clears her throat and picks up the papers again.
Well then, no time to waste. The cultivation keeping Wen Ying undead is stupidly, terrifyingly simple to negate for how complicated it was to come up with. An array brought him back, and an array can cancel everything out again. It collapses everything, the conduit for resentful energy that moves through him, taking power from every bad thing that ever happened to him, and occasionally from lotus and pork rib soup. The applied stasis that's kept his body stuck in time for gods only know how long after his death, and the nebulous, confusing, incomprehensible tether that brought his soul back to its home. The tether worries Wen Ting the most, because she doesn't know how it works. Wen Ying doesn't know how it works. Even Wei Wishan doesn't know how it works. It was hope and primal fear and a little bit of starvation-induced madness. If they are wrong, and the tether is the only thing keeping his soul here, this will not work. If the resentful energy has not repaired enough of his bones and muscles, skull, spine, neck, odd angles in the rain and the mud, this will not work. If he was dead for even a little bit longer than Wen Ching thinks he was, his body will be too decayed to function, and this will not work. Wen Ching reminds herself forcefully that this was his choice and his right to choose. She puts her little brother in the middle of an array that should have never existed for the second time in her life, and sits down in front of him.
I'm not doing this because I want to leave you, Wen Ying says very gently. I'm doing this because I want to stay.
She knows. He refused to say any last farewells because he has faith in her, in Wei Wishan, in himself. He simply planted a small kiss on the cheek of a scowling man in purple, who undid his frown for the slimmest of moments to press a kiss to Wen Ying's forehead, before turning on his heel and striding off down the hall as if it were any other day. Wen Ching felt to her core the level of restraint it took from Zhang Wenyin, and she is thankful, if only for her brother's sake.
There is no coming back from this, Wen Ching says. She does not expect that her brother will change his mind.
The world will stay unchanged, An Ying. It is still cruel. Rumors, spread by Nie Huaisang or otherwise, have not been met with kindness. Lotus Pier's cultivators are young and scrappy, and fold around their own with dogged protectiveness. But outside of the sect, tongues are sharp and harsh about her brother in Wan Yin.
Sky, stop it! Hey! Sorry.
The Nie may do what they please, and the Lan are above reproach, and the Jin silence wagging jaws with gold or glittering steel, but Yunmeng Jiang are still coughing on the ashes of their rebirth, and the cultivation world is waiting to see if they fly or fall. I know how cruel it is, Wan Ying says gently, and she feels her stomach twist in shame. Of course he does. Her little brother does not let her wallow there, reaching across the boundaries of the array and squeezing her hands. Ajie, there is so much more sun here. She knows what he means. Nightless city weighed on their shoulders like so much thick and suffocating cloth, pressed Anying into the shadows and Wen Qing into the spotlight. Here, even if they cannot have the freedom enjoyed by Heng Guan Jun and the Yiling Patriarch, they can breathe. Very well, Wen Qing says, squeezing his hands back before letting him go. She does not say thank you, and she does not say I'm sorry, because he'll hear them in her words anyways. I love you. He folds his hands in his lap once more and smiles. I'll see you soon. Wen Qing pulls her scalpel in a short line down her forearm, grips the cut tight, and slams her bloody palm down on the first talisman. The array ignites. It's a good thing she thought to put up silencing talismans, because the resentful energy howls. Not for long, just a brief, furious burst as it's forced ungracefully from the body it's inhabited for over a year now. But to Wen Qing, it feels like an eternity, watching the power writhe violently around her brother, whipping and contorting like a creature driven mad with pain. Her heart is pounding in her ears. She wants to reach out and grab it, pull the energy into herself so it can't harm Anying. There is so much resentment inside of her. What's a little bit more? Her brother would never forgive her. Wen Qing folds herself over and screams, letting the hurt, rage, fear, love come up in a sound she never knew she could make, letting it get lost in the shriek of the resentful energy until the whirlwind evaporates and her voice goes with it. Wen Ying sits where she left him, the last of the black veins on his neck fading away. Then goes the stasis, and it's like watching a flower open up to the sunlight. Not that Wen Qing has watched many flowers open, but Wen Ying always had the patience for it, and when she had the time, she tried to indulge him. But she gets it now, watching something come alive, little by little. A muscle twitches there. The shade of his skin gets warmer there. The paralysis that kept her brother trapped at the very edge of death is finally falling away, and Wen Qing sits frozen across from him. Will An Ying go with it? Has he miscalculated? Has she? Abruptly, the rest of the stasis shatters, and Wen Ying keels over backwards. Wen Qing dives for him. The bandages for her arm lay forgotten, and she gets bloody handprints on him as she cradles his head in her lap. She reaches for the pulse automatically and finds lurching, stuttering beats. After so long sitting dormant, her brother's heart has lost its rhythm, and once it gives out, Wen Qing knows she will lose him for good. She has no needles that will help. Her fieldwork focuses on stopping, not activating, pausing instead of resetting. For something like this, she needs her setup in Nightless City, long since destroyed with the wet rest of Wen Rohan's secrets. She knows something that can substitute, though. Wen Qing scrambles to her feet, hurling herself towards the door.
Jiang Wan Yin! She screams. Jiang Wan Yin!
He must have been lingering nearby, because she only makes it a few steps before he crashes directly into her. Zidian, Wen Qing says, grabbing his wrist and pulling him back into the room. Later, she will think about how she grabbed for the weapon he received when the Wen slaughtered his clan, and how he did not fight back or pull away. Right now, she hauls him into the room and almost throws him at her brother. Sidian, she says again, his heart, now. The space of a shuddery breath from Wenying, and Wenying gets it. Purple wreathes his hands, crackles around him like resentful energy used to swarm around Wei Wuxian, before his palms hit her brother's chest. Wen Qing watches her baby brother convulse with the shock and prays. The lightning winks out, into another moment that lasts forever. Then, Wen Ying coughs, lurches to one side, gags and coughs again, bringing a hand up to rub at his chest, which is rising and falling as it should. The relief escapes Wen Qing in a wordless wail, and she flings herself at him. The body she hits is solid, soft, and warm. A second later, she is being hugged in return, with all of the feeble strength Wen Ying has left.
Jia,
he says, sounding raspy and shaky, but happy. So, so happy. She hasn't heard his voice this full in years.
Didi,
Wen Qing hiccups. She knows there are tears on her face, but they haven't yet reached her chin, which is how she knows that the drops on her shoulder are falling from Wen Ying's eyes. Through her tears, she sees the purple blur of Jiang Wenyin fold double, with the same overwhelming emotion that's choking her now. It is a quality they share, squashing down their more vulnerable impulses until it all comes rushing out at once. They share this as well, Wen Qing allows, a love for foolish heroes with hearts too big for their bodies. Then again, she and Wenyin have also proven fools. Take me instead. Take my core, my life, my heart, my humanity. Just leave him be. Wen Qing loosens her hug and lets her brother go to his partner, who is shaking with relief and exhaustion and a vulnerability most people will never see and live. Wen Ying, who has seen it many times, just holds him. There are footsteps coming down the hall to see what's happened. Friends and fellow cultivators calling out for her, or Wen Ying, or even Anying. She lets herself wonder momentarily at the fact that she has people outside of Wei Wuxian and her family who will miss her now, even if only as their healer. Then, for the first time in a very long time, she closes her eyes and lets herself feel loved. It's not easy, of course. Nothing in Wen Qing or Wen Ning's life has ever been easy. There are days when Wen Ying can't get out of bed, days when his hands shake so badly he can't hold a teacup, and she or Wen Yin have to do it for him. He takes about 10 different medicines a day. If his body rallies, if it strengthens itself and heals, they can maybe get it down to 5. But Wen Ying tastes a lotus seed cake for the first time in his life and bursts into tears. He picks the fisherman's cats up in little furry bundles and beams just as broadly when they scratch him as when they purr. He splashes in the shallows of the lakes just to feel the temperature of the water and falls asleep in the Yunmeng sun thanks to the comfort of its warmth. He gets a truly stunning sunburn afterwards, and Wen Qing doesn't even have to open her mouth because Wen Yin is going off at him about it the moment she arrives, all while putting salve on the burns. It's probably going to happen again, you know, Wen Ying says when his partner takes a breath for air. I know, Jiang Wen Yin grumbles. That doesn't mean it's good for you. How many sunburns did you get before you stopped falling asleep on the docks? Wen Ying asks. He still gets them, Wen Qing says, because her sect leader is one of her worst patients. Jiang Wen Yin throws her an utterly betrayed look, but Wen Ying laughs so hard he nearly falls off the medical cot, his face free and loose and in motion, as only the living can be. And Wen Qing smiles. It's just very, very sweet. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, I didn't even see the author's end note. Okay. Author's end notes. Luring people in with Cheng Ning only to blast them in the face with my Wen Jing feelings heart. I'm not going to lie. There's also some chronic fatigue / pain / weakness feelings coming through via Wen Ning. No matter how exhausted I am or how many things others can do that I can't, my life is still precious and valuable. The same is true for you, reader. I'm sure of it. God, how dare you, Bumble Deeth, make me cry on mic? How dare you?
Laughing on mic, I'm used to. Crying on mic, I avoid. And the next paragraph. If you like podfics, check out this podfic, which is the my cold read of Weibishen, Who's That? By Carrie Arntekai Pods. I've been listening along and losing my mind at hearing one of my stories read aloud. Go give the narrator some love. Well, I didn't... I saw that this had gotten posted after I started, and I was just like, oh my God. So many feelings. Okay. I'm going to sign off here. I enjoy this series still being open, whether or not there are ever any more. I think it being open-ended is, something to be happy about. Of course, if any more pieces get added, I will certainly pod them. I'm subscribed, so I will get an email. Anyway, please go give Bumblebees some love. I'm going to kudos the fic right now. I had this whole thing where apparently I'd forgotten to kudos a bunch of fics I had podficked, which was the weirdest feeling in the world. And I had to send a message to some of the authors being like, I swear, this is going to be weird, but I got to kudos it now. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you all again very soon. Bye.